When I think about humility, I always think about it first in relation to sin. I've got every reason to be humble because my sins are many. But there's more to humility than being put in our place on account of our sins. Jesus was humble, and there is no sin in him.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, that is a great point. I'm not sure many of us have thought about that before. No sin in Jesus, yet he was humble.
And that is huge because it reminds us that humility is not merely on account of our failure. It is actually a virtue. This is godlike.
Yeah.
And here, God in the flesh comes to us in humility. I want to be like Jesus Christ. I want to become more godly, more godlike in my life than the cultivation of the virtue of humility. And the experience of the blessing of humility. We're going to look today, Steve, at why humility is a blessing. Mm-hmm. Why your life becomes rich as humility becomes greater. Pride is a killer. It creates all kinds of difficulties in a person's life, quite apart from the stains of sin. Humility is a blessing.
Well, it is, and we're going to take a look at how we actually cultivate humility in today's message. If you can, join us in Matthew chapter 5 as we continue the message, Cultivating Humility. Here's Pastor Colin.
Growing in humility will nourish your love for others. So someone here who is struggling in a marriage, in a relationship where there is real, real difficulty. And the whole question of love in its decline is before us, and the whole question of how love can be revived is before us. Now, what does the scripture say to us about this? Well, you know 1 Corinthians 13 very well. Let's think about love. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant. Love does not insist on its own way. It is pride that is self-seeking. It is pride that is easily provoked. Think of it this way, friends. Pride will be like a bucket of cold water poured on the fires of love. Humility, in contrast, fans into flame the embers of a dying love. Humility will do that. Get on this first ring. This is where hope of recovery in an ailing marriage begins. Why is it ailing? Why has love been damped down? You can be sure that pride has a huge part in this. You come to the place and you say, do I really love him anymore? And the world says, you got to think about yourself, you know. And Jesus says exactly the opposite. He says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also into the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What did he do? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Growing in humility, it'll help you stand when trial comes. It will nourish love in difficult situations. Here's the third thing. Growing in humility will help you stand against temptation. Everyone fights temptation of one sort or another. How do you do that? How do you stand? All of you will be able to help me complete this statement that's taken from the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. What is it that comes before a fall? Answer, pride comes before a fall. That's Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. The New Testament way of saying that is in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Let the person who thinks he stands be very careful lest he should fall. So if pride comes before a fall, if thinking that you stand is the condition of heart in which you are very likely to fall, then what is the condition of heart in which you are likely to stand? The answer is this, it is humility. Humility will help you to stand, for he who knows that he can easily fall is the one who is more likely to stand. When you know the weakness of the flesh, then you will be the person who does watch and does pray and therefore does not fall into temptation. So what we're seeing here, you see, is that pride is a kind of gateway sin that opens the door to all other sins. Once pride gains a foothold in the heart, all kinds of other sins come in. Think about places where you have fallen, and you will see that pride has always gone before. And similarly, humility is a gateway blessing. Let humility occupy your heart, and all kinds of other blessings are going to begin to flow into your life and into your marriage and into your ability to stand against temptation and into your ability to stand in the place of trial. It goes everywhere in life. That's why Jesus puts it first. Got to get on the first ring. One more blessing, and for some this will be the most important of all today. Growing in humility will release you from the tyranny of self. Growing in humility will release you from the tyranny of self. Now, I'm speaking to a few in the congregation, and I hope that at this point you will listen up. There will be some here today, and you're thinking like this, Pastor Colin, you have no idea how far removed I am from the idea of pride. I don't love myself. If you knew the truth is this, I hate myself. I despise myself. I sometimes think of harming myself. That's you. I want you to listen up in this moment as to how the Word of God speaks into your life. I want to give you a quote from A.W. Tozer that I have found to be very helpful. He says this, listen, self, whether it is swaggering or groveling, can never be other than hateful to God. You know, self sometimes swaggers, self sometimes grovels. But, says Tozer, self, whether it's the swaggering version or whether it's the groveling version, didn't make very much difference, either are hateful to God. Boasting, he says, is an evidence that we are pleased with self. Belittling is an evidence that we are disappointed with self. Either way, the point he makes is simply this. We are focused on self. Self is dominating. Self is at the center. Whether you're hating yourself, whether you're loving yourself, self is on the throne, and self is always a tyrant. And self on the throne will destroy you, whether it's the swaggering sort or the groveling sort. And the one way to have deliverance from the tyranny of self, whichever variety you suffer from, is to lay hold of the first ring, which is the place of humility. For you, with your desire to harm yourself and your hate of yourself, to say to Jesus Christ in all humility, I have to receive from you what I do not have in myself. It's every bit as hard for the swaggering self to get on the cross as to be nailed there. Every bit as hard for the groveling self. But here is the one place of deliverance from both varieties. The great blessing of humility.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Cultivating Humility. It's part of a larger series all about how we have momentum in the Christian life. But to have that momentum means we are a Christian. But what is yours if you become a Christian? Well, Jeffrey Thomas has written a book about that entitled You Could Have It All. It's an evangelistic book that talks all about the promises of God to the Christian, how you can know God, know yourself, how you can know that your sins are forgiven, and what it means to become a child of God, how to have contentment and purpose in life. And we'd love to send you a copy of this book as you give a gift of any amount to Unlocking the Bible this month. Maybe you're a new Christian and you're wondering what is all yours in Christ. Or maybe you have someone who has asked you questions along those lines. You're not sure how to answer them. Or you want them to come to know Jesus, and this book could really let them know what is theirs as they come to know him. Again, we'd love to send you a copy of this book as you give a gift of any amount. Give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253 or again, unlockingthebible.org. All right, let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
Now, let's get to this then. How then do we get onto this first ring? How are we to cultivate humility? Let me give to you these just very practical steps. I want to encourage you to this pattern of life on an ongoing basis of regularly measuring yourself by the law of God, to measure yourself by the law of God. And I'm referring there to the scriptures as a whole, but I use the word law there for a reason. When I was growing up in Scotland, we used to sing a song about the Bible, and it went like this. Make the book live to me, O Lord. Show me thyself within thy word. Show me myself, and show me my Savior, and make the book live to me. Now, that's a wonderful way to read the Bible. So there's more to reading the Bible than reading the Bible. You've got to read the Bible for a purpose. A music teacher who must have been very frustrated at my efforts at trying to play the piano, she said, there's more to practice than just practicing. Don't just go through the pieces. You've got to get better. You've got to gain something from practice. You've got to gain something from reading the Bible. What are you to gain from reading the Bible? Show me myself and show me my Savior. That's what you have to gain from reading the Bible. So whatever you're reading in the Bible, read it with these two lenses. Lord, show me myself. Lord, show me my Savior. Measure yourself against everything that God is calling you to. Don't just read it. Measure yourself against it. So of the many passages of Scripture I've read in the last week or the last 10 days or so, one of them has been 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. I've been measuring myself against 1 Corinthians 13. I'm just trying to give you a practical example here. Love does not insist on its own way. Lord, is there a place where I'm insisting on my own way? Love is not irritable or resentful. Where have I been? Is there any place I've been irritable? And I spotted one. And I had to apologize for it. Measure yourself by the Ten Commandments. Measure yourself by the Beatitudes. Measure yourself by the Great Commission. Measure yourself by the Sermon on the Mount. Measure yourself by anything, by everything that God is calling you to do everywhere in the Bible as you read day by day. And guess what? You will find that every day you are poor in spirit. The swagger will be cut out of you as you place yourself under the Word of God. Show me myself. Paul says something very, very fascinating. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, it's about how all the commandments of God, which of course is the largest part of the Bible, everything that God calls us to do in the Old and the New Testament, how is this to be used in the life of a Christian? And he says this in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, the law was our guardian until Christ came. The word that he uses there, literally translated, is the word pedagogue. We might today use the word mentor. Mentor. It would be a reasonable translation of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 to put it like this. The law was given as a mentor to bring us to Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to you, use all the commands of God as a mentor to bring you to Jesus Christ every day. Every day. Because the commandments of God, rightly understood, will cultivate humility. That's why there's so many of them, because I need that in my life every day. They'll bring you, like they bring me, to the place every day of saying, Lord, I do not have what it takes. Be to me what I am not. Give me what I have not. And here's the good news. Seeing your need is the place that Jesus describes when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So instead of cutting yourself because of your exasperation at your failure to become something, you would bow before Jesus and find in him all that you need. The law, friends, will bring you to a place called poor in spirit, and Jesus Christ will meet you there. There is no other place to meet him, and there's no other way of getting there. But the law will bring you to a place called poor in spirit, and Jesus Christ will meet you there. So how to cultivate humility? This is the pattern of a person who becomes poor in spirit and who lives like this and who walks like this and who gains the momentum of this ring moving forward in the Christian life. Here's something else just briefly. Not only are we to use the law of God to measure ourselves, but let's model ourselves on the Son of God. Now here's something quite beautiful. When I think about humility, I always think about it first in relation to sin. I've got every reason to be humble because my sins are many. And I think that's probably the first thought that comes to most of our minds. But there's more to humility than being put in our place on account of our sins. Jesus was humble, and there is no sin in him. So Jesus was not humble on account of sin. This humility of Jesus sprang from another source because there's no sin in him. Andrew Murray was the writer who opened this wonderful truth up for me, and he says this: if humility is to be our joy, if we're to find joy in it, if we're to go after it, if we say this is the most beautiful thing in the world and I want more of it, if humility is to be our joy, we must see that it is not only a mark of shame because of our sin, but that humility, he says, is being clothed with the very beauty and blessedness of heaven and of Jesus. Humility, quite apart from anything to do with sin, is to be clothed with the very beauty and the blessedness of heaven and of Jesus. And he goes on to explain that humility involves something much deeper than contrition. That it is actually a participation in the life of Jesus. And since Jesus is humanity perfected, we find in humility the highest glory of being made in the image of God. How beautiful. How beautiful. And I called this series Beauty for Ashes for this reason. That the Beatitudes describe the radiance, the beauty of the life that is in Jesus Christ. Christ burns pride to ashes in his people. And he replaces it with the beauty of a humble heart. So model yourself on Jesus. Listen to him. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. I mean, if Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own, how much more should I be saying that? Jesus said, I have not come to do my own will. If Jesus said that, how much more should I be saying that? Jesus said, I do not seek my own glory. If Jesus said that, how much more should I be saying that? And he says to all of us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am lowly and humble of heart. So the law will bring you to the place where Christ will meet you. It's a place called poor in spirit. And there Jesus says, yoke yourself to me, walk with me, model yourself on this life that I have lived. And here's the very last thing, just very briefly. Motivate yourself through the grace of God. I want you to just to see and to go with this thought in our minds, how rich the blessing is here. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The poor in spirit are blessed, blessed. Humility is a grace that brings more grace People who know their need and their poverty before God enter a blessing that brings greater blessing and gives momentum that leads to further blessing, as we're going to go on to see, God willing, next week. So I want to encourage you to get on this first ring. Let us humble ourselves before God, that in due time He may lift us up. God has gifts of grace for the humble. There are gifts of purity ahead. There are gifts of peace ahead. There are gifts of being able to forgive others ahead. And they can be yours. These graces can be yours too. Oh, they seem so far away from you right now. But get on this ring, and you will find that you are beginning to move towards them. Come to Jesus Christ today. Tell Him that you do not have what it takes to live this life. Tell Him you can't change. Ask Him to give you what you do not have. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Look to Him. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. Here's a description of a Christian. Christians are people who know their own poverty. They look to Jesus for what they do not have, and they know that in Him they have all that they need.
What a great way to end this message, and a helpful definition of what a Christian is. Someone who knows their own poverty. They look at Jesus for what they don't have, and they know that in Him they have all they need. We're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message entitled Cultivating Humility. It's part of a series on the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5. You know, the Beatitudes aren't telling us how to become a Christian. They actually tell us what a true Christian looks like. And maybe you feel like you've been a Christian for some time, but you're not growing in your relationship with God anymore. You feel like you just kind of stalled out, and you wonder, how do I get growing again? Well, that's what our series Momentum is all about. If you want to get a copy of the series for yourself, or maybe for someone you know who's kind of struggling in their walk with Christ right now, give us a call. Our toll-free number is 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253. Or come to our website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We depend on your generosity to keep this program on the station. But as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd love to send you a book entitled You Could Have It All. It's written by Jeffrey Thomas. And Colin, it's an evangelistic book. So what sets this book apart from other books for non-believers?
Well, I think that it gives the scope of the gospel. You know, often when the gospel is presented, what's said is, now if you come to faith in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven and you'll go to heaven. Mm-hmm. These things are wonderfully, wonderfully true. And yet there's more, as every Christian knows, that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to be a child of God. We come to have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And then there are things that flow from that. I mean, Paul says in one place, I have learned in every situation to be content. Now, that's a wonderful thing. That's something that people would want. And that's a chapter in this book. You could learn to be content. That's something that could be yours. You could become a stronger and a wiser person. You could know the purpose of life. You could belong to the best and happiest people on earth. I love that. Yeah. And at the end, he has a chapter on, and you could have assurance that the living God will welcome you when you come into heaven. I think that's marvelous. So this gives the scope of the Christian life. I think for any believer, it's just going to be refreshing to read this book. And it's a wonderfully positive book that you could give to someone who doesn't yet know the Lord and to give them this message. This could all be yours in Jesus Christ. What a marvelous Savior we have, who offers us Himself and then with Him every good and spiritual gift.
Well, we'd love to send you this book, You Could Have It All. It's our thank you as you give a financial gift of any amount to Unlocking the Bible this month. Give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Again, the website is unlockingthebible.org and our phone number is 1-866-865-6253. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. Unlocking the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. God says, Blessed are those who mourn. But one kind of mourning leads to death, and another leads to comfort. Discover the difference on the next Unlocking the Bible.